your Bible, take it for what it's saying. Take it, read it in context. Me and Doug, I mean, he said it before, I'm going to say it again. Read before and read after a verse, and it gives you what they're talking about, gives you what he's saying. Who is it meant for? Why is it meant for that? And so on and so forth. And so here in John chapter 14 and verse 6, very familiar verse, but do not let the familiarity of verses take away the power of God in your life. John chapter 14, verse 6, Jesus Christ says, I am. He's declaring that he's God right there, okay? I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me. Jesus said that he is the way, singular. There are no other ways. Everybody says this all the time in jail. Well, there's multiple ways to God. Not if you believe this Bible. There's one way, and it's Jesus Christ. And the King James Bible made that clear to us, that there is only one way to the Father. There's only one way to heaven. It's not by our religious works. It's not by how good that we think we are. It's by Jesus Christ. He says, I am the way. Okay? Through him. What becomes from that? He's the life. Okay? He's the truth, and he's the life, and thank God for that. We want to praise him for Jesus being the only way to be saved. The Bible is clear that there's only one way. And some say, well, you know, that's very narrow-minded. Well, let me tell you about how narrow-minded our Bible is. It's God's way or no way. That is a reality. But people have a hard time with narrow thinking. You got to, you know, let your mind explore and blah, 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 blah. Let me tell you what my mind exploring got me. Let me tell you what my thinking got me and where it ended up getting me. Jesus Christ said, there's one way and it's his way. And the Bible is very narrow-minded. The King James Bible is the only word of God. And people say, well, that's very narrow-minded. Turn with me to John chapter 1. Let me share with you some narrow-mindedness. I love that Jesus Christ is narrow-minded. I love that the Bible is that way. I love it because I tell you what, I needed something to give me direction in life. I needed a new life. I needed something that was going to change the way that I thought, the way that I did things. And I tried multiple ways to change. I mean, my mother's sitting here. She can tell you how many times I went to jail, how many times I went to prison, how many mental hospitals I went in. All those ways I was trying to find help. All those ways I was trying to find relief. What was it? Was I trying to find relief from? I said nature. Look, and I believe in some mental health. There are mental health issues out there. I'm not going to take that for, but it's not 99% of America. You know what the problem is? Sin.
Yeah.
Brother, how many medicines did they have me on? 14 or so? Mental medications for everything you can think of under the sun. And then when one medication didn't work, they put me on another one. How come I don't take those today? You see, when Jesus dealt with the sin nature, he took those things away. And I believe that's where most of America is. There are some mental health issues out there, okay? Don't get me wrong. Don't quote me saying that I don't believe that there are some. There are some, but not everybody suffers from mental health. The problem is they want everybody to believe that so they can make billions off of their sickness. Yeah. Jesus Christ doesn't want to leave a person that way. You think Jesus Christ wants to leave a person a drug addict? No, but they'll tell them they need Suboxone for the rest of their life. That's a lie. That is not how that medicine was designed. That medicine was designed to take them off very slowly and get them off of there so they did not have to go through the withdrawals. After that, they were supposed to be free and clear, but they keep them on it the rest of their life. Why? Money. They keep them sick.
Yeah.
Okay? Guess what happened? Jesus Christ, the King James Bible and church showed me there's another way. Way. Singular. Okay? Look at John chapter 1 and verse 14. Look what it says. And the Word. You notice that? Oh, John chapter 1 verse 14. Mm-hmm. And the Word. That's capitalized. Why is that capitalized? Talking about a person, okay? It's not talking about what we see written. It's talking about a person. It says, and the Word, and it's singular. Mm-hmm. Why? Because there's only one Word of God. There are not many words of God. We have one God who needs one Bible. Plain and simple. We don't need other. We don't need many Bibles with one God. We need one God with one Bible. And that's why Jesus Christ says here that he's the way, the truth, and the life. And in John chapter 1:14, it says, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld, look at it, calls it his glory. Understand? It's talking about a person there. It's talking about the Bible. It's talking about the Word of God. And people, Shane, so many people say, man, that is narrow-minded thinking. Where did I get that narrow-minded thinking from? The Word of God, Jesus Christ, who is that way, who is that life, okay? He is that truth. And it says, and we beheld his glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Thank God for that grace and truth. Thank God for that grace that he's given to those who repent. Thank God for those who, that grace that he's given freely. It's not something we have to earn. Well, Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 8, you don't have to turn that. It says this, Jesus Christ, what is this? The same yesterday, today, and forever. Mm-hmm. It never changes. So, we just seen that he's the way, he's the truth, and he's the life. We just seen that he is the word of God. We just seen that he never changes. Then why is everybody changing it? Why is everybody changing the way? Why is everybody changing the Bible who they will say that Jesus Christ is the Word of God? And if they say that, then why are they changing the Bible? He doesn't change. Clearly in Hebrews, he says that he does not change, that he's the same. So then why are they changing that Bible? Because they want it to fit their lifestyle. They're trying to make a religion. They're trying to make a God. They're trying to make a Jesus to fit their lifestyle. But why? Because they don't want to give up those things of the flesh. They don't want to really give up that sin. You know, that's why you have that music that's out there. Why? Because, man, they're really into that stuff. Why? Because they were into that stuff as a lost person, and it fed their flesh. And now they still want to feed their flesh and call it Christian. That's a reality.
Yes.
And I'm telling you right now, it's damning people to hell with that nonsense. Anybody in here know what a mosh pit is?
Yeah.
Do you know they have Christian mosh pits here?
Yeah. Really?
Yeah.
Do you know that they have Christian hip-hop?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, we can just go, Christian death metal?
Oh, yeah.
Are you kidding me? Do you think for one second Jesus Christ is honoring that? I'll tell you what's Christian is hearing that wonderful piano being played and those wonderful hymns being sung. You know why? There's doctrine in those hymns. And people don't want to hear doctrine. They want to hear what feeds their flesh, not what goes against it. People hate what goes against their flesh. They hate to hear those. That's why they hate the Bible. That's why they hate those hymns. Why? Because it's going to preach to them. And it's going to be doctrinal to them. And they don't want to hear that. Because it tells them how to live a different lifestyle, and they do not. Men love darkness rather than light. Why? Because their deeds were evil. Malachi 3:6 says, for I am the Lord, I change not. Ain't that wonderful? You serve a Savior who never changes. Boy, I tell you what, it's hard to serve somebody who's, our feelings always change our mind. Our flesh changes more on a daily basis than ever. But everybody wants to feed that thing. They want to serve that thing. But we have a Savior who says, I change not. Okay? Why? Because he doesn't want confusion to be spread. My goodness, there's enough confusion in America today on who is what and what is who and where is how you're supposed to go and how you're supposed to do it. Jesus Christ said, if you'll just come to me, I'll show you the way. I'll show you the truth. I'll give you one Bible, one direction in your life, and that's what you have to do. Yeah. He's given us that. He's given that to us. But everybody else says, oh, man, that's just such narrow-minded thinking. Do you know I'm more free now in Jesus Christ than I've ever been in my entire life? How is that narrow-minded? Here's narrow-minded. Well, the only way to get free from your drugs is to do this. The only way to get free, that's narrow-minded and with no freedom. Zero freedom. Well, this is how you get out of jail. You take this program, take that program, take this program and leave and be the same way that I've always been. Not with this. Not with the Bible, not with Jesus Christ. Well, turn away to Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7. God is good, amen, all the time. Matthew chapter 7, we'll go and start in verse 13. Matthew chapter 7 and verse 13, this is what it says. Enter ye, that means all of us, at the straight gate, singular. For wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. Listen, my friend, if everybody's doing it, it's going to lead you to destruction. All these big old mega churches and this mega this and this mega, that's of the devil. You see, the devil said in Isaiah, I will be like the Most High God, not the opposite. Everybody's looking at the devil like he's some guy standing there with a pitchfork and a long pit. That's not what he looked. He's the most beautiful created being that there ever was, according to Ezekiel chapter 28. And he says, I will be like the Most High God. You go and study your Bible, and everything that Jesus Christ does, the devil tries to imitate the same exact thing. Why? Because he wants to be called Jesus. And what does Paul warn us of? He says, if a man come preach another Jesus. What other Jesus is he talking about? The devil. Well, guess what? Those ones in those mega churches, guess who they're following? That other Jesus. Brother Scott, when I go into the jails, I ask him this. I say, why is my Jesus changing me and he's not changing you? I got the Jesus of this Bible. Which one do you have? Well, they can't tell me because they use so many other versions. What a way to deceive somebody by coming out with other versions of the Bible and have the devil being called Jesus. Then come out with some music that appeases the flesh. Why do you think they're so packed, sister? Because all it's doing is appeasing the flesh. Come on in. Live any way you want. Man, just come in. We'll have so many pastors here, we won't even know your name ever. Just live any way you want. Go on. Oh, you go, just drop your little slip down. We'll have somebody pray for you at some point. That's the way to destruction, Shane. Am I not lying? It's the way of destruction. Jesus Christ just said that in Matthew chapter 7. He said, it's that leading to destruction. And there are many that go therein. Verse 14. Because straight is the gate and narrow is the way. Singular. Which leadeth unto life, and few that there find it. Ain't that something? There's one way, and it's a narrow way. So when somebody says your way of thinking and the way you serve your God is narrow, say, oh no, that's not something I said. That's something God said. Because look at Jesus Christ. God is not going to do everything that society does. They're going to do everything the opposite of that. In Isaiah chapter 55, God said this, my thoughts are not your thoughts and my ways are not your ways. My thoughts are higher than your thoughts and my ways are higher than your ways. Thank God we don't serve a God who thinks like us. I want you to just remember this. Get up in the morning and look in that mirror as you look at yourself. And just imagine what your life would be if you were your own God. That's a reality. And thank God God doesn't think like I do, Amy. Thank God he doesn't do things the way that I do them. What a mess we would be in. But there's a whole bunch of people out there that are afraid of that narrow way, brother. Well, God said that narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and there be few that find it. I'd say the King James Bible and Jesus are narrow-minded in how they say things ought to be done. Jeremiah chapter 10. Jeremiah chapter 10. God's a narrow-minded thinking God. I'm just telling you that right now. He'll show you that in his Bible. But anyway, look at what it says in Jeremiah chapter 10. I'll wait for the pages to slow down here for a minute. I'd rather everybody get to a verse, everybody turn to that if they can. And I'm patient with that because I understand how it is. And I want people to read so they see that it's not just what I'm saying. That's the word of God. Okay? So anyway, Jeremiah chapter 10, verse 23. Look what it says in verse 23. Jeremiah 10 says, O Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man that walketh, that walketh direct his steps. So look it. We don't know the way. We think we know the way. But it isn't not man to find that way. How does he do it? Jesus Christ, in John chapter 1, verse 9, it says this, that the Bible, every single person, every single man, woman, and child, that there's a spirit that is put inside of us. And that spirit is the one that draws us into it. God puts a spirit in every single person. There's not a person that's going to stand before God and say, well, you left me out of this. Oh, no, God has been trying to draw people unto himself for thousands of years, okay? And he's tried drawing every single person, whether they want it or not, whether they reject it or not, it's not God's fault. Because I had a man ask me this, Brother Joe, he said, if God is so loving, then why does God put people in hell? I said, because they rejected Christ. He made the way so they didn't have to go to hell. Therefore, they chose to reject Jesus Christ and the way. Therefore, they paid the price. Okay? Bottom line, God loved. So, do you know that the Creator died for His creation? Go find another religion where their little small g God dies for them. The other religions, you have to die for your God. Ours died for us so that we can live. Isn't that wonderful? That's a wonderful, wonderful thing. Well, John chapter 1 and verse 23, you don't have to turn there. He said, I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness. Make straight the way of the Lord. As said the prophet Isaiah. Ain't that wonderful? He says, make straight the way. Make straight the way. Singular. Not many ways. There's one way that's straight to Jesus Christ. It's straight to the cross. Straight to Him for repentance. We don't have to go anywhere else, man. If God is narrow-minded, He can be. And what a wonderful thing it is to serve a God who keeps us in that line. Who keeps us in that way. Okay? Mm-hmm. Well, turn with me to 2 Peter. I want you to turn here. We're just looking at the narrow-mindedness of God. And look at this is the Bible, Christianity, church, these things that God has set in order, those things that He has put in place. It may be narrow-minded to some, but it's the most freedom you'll ever have on this planet. I've never been in such a narrow way, Brother Scott, and been so free in my entire life. And if people could just get a grasp on that, that this narrow-minded, this way is a way to freedom. This way is not only a way to freedom here on earth, but through eternity. I mean, eternity never ends. Eternity, the day that you're born, your eternity started. Ain't that wonderful? We're already started in eternity here. Because when we close our eyes, there's Jesus. The one we've been talking about. The one we've been serving. And there He is standing before us. And what do? What's the first thing we're going to tell Him? And nobody knows. I don't even know what I'm going to say to Him. Maybe I'll be speechless. Okay? But anyway, look at, okay. 2 Peter chapter 2. In verse 1, and look what it says, but there were false prophets among the people, even as there should be false teachers among you, who privily, that means in secret, they're being stealthy, shall bring in damnable heresies. Boy, I tell you, that goes on today. I can name a whole group of them people. Even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. You see, they think they're getting away with it. Most people today think they're getting away with this stuff. And my goodness, it's going to be a swift destruction when it comes upon them. There will be no more help. It will be over with. Once that comes upon them, it's over. And He says, in these days, there'll be a swift destruction. And in verse 2, and many shall follow their precarious ways. That's a person who's intending to cause harm. That's somebody who's trying to lead somebody astray. That's what's going on today in these churches. They're leading people astray. People are being pulled out of churches to go to other. I know people who have started in good Bible-believing Baptist churches who are now in those big old churches over there because they can live any way they want. They've been pulled out by that crowd. Yep. They have forsaken the way. They have forsaken the way of Jesus Christ. They have forsaken the why? To feed the flesh. To go back to feeding that sin nature, and it's absolutely destroying churches. I went over and told Pastor John, I said, look, Pastor John, said, the pastor of that church here, he's leaving. No Eric Kessel. I said, what do we do? I said, we're not letting another church close, bro. We're not letting another church close, Pastor. I've watched too many churches close. For what? There's hungry people here. There's people who want the things of God in this church. God help us to come here. God help us to stand together with the Farmersville Baptist Church and be with you and be a family with you that we may stand here until so God brings in a pastor, till God so brings in a preacher who will come here and love you guys, who will come here and pray for you guys, come in here and teach and preach the Word of God. You can't get anything better than that. But I've watched over the last few years, church after church after church after church. I know many churches, Brother Doug, that the only people left in that church is the man's family. Hang on. That's what I told him. Hang on. And how is it doing over there in Wellsville now, Anchor Baptist Church? He's got some people coming in now. And thank God for it. Just hang on. He knows. But what's going on? People are leaving for the flesh. They're leaving the truth. I believe that there are some born-again people who have been corralled to get into that nonsense. Not all. Some have been sitting in church pews. They were just waiting for a reason to get out of that church, man. All they do is look for one little excuse to get out of church, and man, they blow them doors wide open. And that's the nonsense they turn to. Why? Because that's what they really wanted. There's one way, Scott. There's one way. Well, look what it goes on, and it says, and by reason of whom the way of the truth shall be evil spoken of. If I could just share with you one thing that I've experienced in Baptist churches and other places that we've been and in jails and prison, it's because I believe this to be the Word of God and Jesus Christ being the way of salvation. You would not believe how many people call me evil. And I'm talking in Baptist churches who say they're King James Bible believers. And they are not. They will not stand on the Word of God. And they absolutely have called me and my family evil because we believe this. We believe this. Look, if there's anything about me, is I've fallen in love with the King James Bible. Because I've fallen in love with the one who wrote the King James Bible. I believe the King James Bible to be the true and only Word of God. I don't believe that man needs anything outside of that. Now, I'm not against study materials. I'm not against books, okay? I'm not against those things if that's what people use. But my question is, who helped that person write that book? And why can't the Holy Ghost teach you the same things without it? The problem is today is Google. I better not say it too loud. Your phone will go off. Hey, Siri. You know, hey, Google. You know, this person wrote this. This person wrote that. And we wonder why a lot of people have left the way. Because they've listened to man's voice for far too long. They've listened to man. You come in, Brother Doug. And other churches outside of, you know, Black Creek or whatever that's up, if they would ever hear that you take a word and you pull it out of the King James Bible and you teach on that for Sunday school, they'd think you're crazy. When I first started teaching Sunday school, they're like, well, what curriculum do you use? I go, oh, I use the Bible. I'm not even kidding you. And they looked at me like, no, remember, what curriculum do you use? I go, oh, I use the Bible to teach or whatever. If they hear that you've done something like that, you'd be looked at as evil. Because you're not falling into their curriculum. You're letting the Word of God take you and to take you through this Bible from one word. That's how it's always been. But now it's strange doctrine to people. They'll come and they'll say, man, that is, I've never heard that before. That's strange doctrine. I go, no, it's Bible. What you're used to listening to is man's opinion. Because you've left the way. Do you believe, Shane, that the Holy Ghost of God can teach you just as well as Charles Spurgeon? He can teach you just as well as J. Vernon McGee. He can teach you just as well as any of those other big names out there. Sure he can. But what's happened today in our technology age and we're being filled with books and all that, we've allowed that to take our study time instead of getting into study. Why? We've lost our way. We've lost our way in studying. We've lost our way in the importance of allowing, like Brother Doug and many others, allowing the Holy Ghost of God to give them a word and pull it out and teach it. That's how it was. Well, you'll be evil spoken of. Drop with me down to verse 21 and 22, and we're going to be closing up here. Verses 21 and 22 in 2 Peter says this, for it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness, than after they have known it to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them. But it has happened unto them according to the true proverb, the dog is turned to its own vomit again, and the sow that was washed to her wallowing in the mire. You see, here Jesus Christ says it plainly. Those who were once claimed that they got saved are going to return to what that feeds their flesh. Why? They've left the way. They've left that true way of Jesus Christ. They left that true way of believing this Bible. They don't want the way of Jesus Christ anymore. They want the way of the flesh, the way of sin, the way of their life, whatever way they want to live. I had a man say this. He goes, man, Baptists have become saved Catholics because they're caught in a cycle. That's all they do, and nothing ever happens to them. He goes, man, I recall myself telling myself, he goes, I became a saved Catholic. And that's what he was sitting in that church. Why? It feeds the flesh. Mm-hmm. It allows them to do whatever they want. You watch them Catholics, they'll go out there on Saturday and do all their confessions, and Saturday night they're in a club doing all filthy, disgusting things. But they went and paid, like the woman in Proverbs chapter 7, they went and paid their dues. They went into that place and they confessed their sin to a man. Never in the Bible does it tell you to confess your sins, confess your faults. Two different words, go look them up. Faults and sins are not the same thing. Everybody gets that mixed up. If it was, if God wanted you to go and confess your sins to a person, he would have put sins there. He did not. He put faults. Okay? Confess your faults. Don't confuse it. Look, keep the words for what the words mean. Don't try to make them fit to what you want them to fit. If it doesn't agree with your doctrine, then it's probably wrong. Okay? That's the one thing that this Bible has taught me is to keep. Doug, your doctrine has been right on, brother, with that. Why? Because he's going to the Holy Ghost of God and getting that, okay? And I love that. There's nothing more that I love than to allow somebody to be taught that way. And so get back into the way. Get back into studying. Get back into living the way. I just wanted to exhort you a little bit about, you know, what's going on there and how narrow-minded Jesus Christ is, how narrow-minded the Bible is, but yet how much freedom we can have in that very thing. And so I thank you guys for having us. Next week will be Brother Tim Asquith, pastor's son, and then the week after that, these guys will both be reaching out to you, Doug. Every one of these guys know to reach out to Brother Doug. And then after that will be Stephen Asquith preaching, and then we'll start a cycle over again. And then at some point, I'm going to be back here with you guys because I sure love being here. Please remember the March meeting, March 19th through the 24th, right?
21st, I think.
March 21st through the 24th, I believe it is. We'll have it. Yeah, well, so did Amy send you a flyer finished?
Yeah, it's up there. They're both there.
For March? For the meeting that's here?
Oh, no, not yet.
All right, we're going to get that to you so you can put it up here. You guys be praying about it. And for that meeting and such, March 21st to the 24th, okay? Keep that in prayer. And we look forward to spending more time with you guys. And thank you for having us here. I'm done, Brother Doug.